This month's episode of Hello from the 90s features Hal Ketchum with 11 studio albums. Hal Ketchum's 1991 album, Past the Point of Rescue, is the most commercially successful, having been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America. In the 90s, Hal Ketchum had 17 entries on the Hot Country Songs charts, including Small Town Saturday Night. Shoot out the light in Small Town Saturday Night. It's Small Town Saturday Night. And Mama Knows the Highway. Yeah, Mama. It's Hello from the 90s with Hal Ketchum.
Hello from the 90s. It's Hal Ketchum.
It's Hello from the 90s, and Hal Ketchum joins us today. Thank you so much for taking time to spend with us today. We really appreciate it.
I thank you. Thanks, Jason. I appreciate you.
I guess when the 90s, right when you first came out, that very first album, Point of Rescue, you weren't the prototypical country star. How did you break through with your particular sound and look? I mean,
well,
you didn't have a cowboy hat, for God's sakes. How did you make it?
I don't know. Sheer luck, I guess.
Now, when you got to Nashville, you'd spent some time in Austin. So was what you were doing when you got to Nashville, was that more of the Austin sound, and it just happened to catch on with you in particular?
It did. It really did. And, you know, I was just so lucky. I had met my publisher, Terrell Tye. She signed me to BMI. And I got a bunch of awards for all that nonsense, and it's just been great ever since.
Did you ever think when you were recording these songs, and you know, your first, I guess, well, it wasn't your first album, this was your first, I guess, major label album, the Past the Point of Rescue, when you were recording Small Town Saturday Night, when you were recording the song Past the Point of Rescue, when you were done, were you like, yeah, man, these are hits?
Oh, absolutely. I felt very, I was a level of self-confidence, you know, kind of intervened, and I got away with it somehow, you know.
Do you ever,
so it's all good.
Do you ever feel like those songs are, you know, you've had a couple of songs that got all the way up to number two, never hit number one. What do you think was stopping them from being number one? And you kind of have that Susan Lucci moment there.
Well, you know, I made a Jim McGuire is my best friend in the world, a great photographer and a wonderful man. And we were having a couple Foster beers and sitting in his studio, and he said, have you ever heard of this Terror of Tiny Town? And I said, no, I don't believe I have. So we rented it and showed it, and I said, I'm in, you know. Bizarre stuff I've ever encountered in my life. So it was really fantastic. It really was. And it was a number one record. It was just strange enough. You know, it had all these tiny people in it, and a German circus troupe I don't know where they were from, but boy, it was just, it was like wildfire, you know, it really caught on.
The next album in the 90s comes out, Hearts Are Gonna Roll, another number two, and Mama Knows the Highway, which is I don't know why, it's my favorite Hal Ketchum song. It's just, it's just perfect. It's a perfect song, charted at number eight. Tell me a little bit about those two songs. Let's start with Hearts Are Gonna Roll.
Pete Wozner and Charles John Quarto wrote that song, collaborated, and it was lightning in a bottle, you know. It really worked.
If you were to collaborate with a current country artist, have you put any thought into that? And if so, who would be the person that you would want to collaborate with?
Daryl Scott, and I, who's the most phenomenal musician in the world, he tours with the Band of Joy, Buddy Miller and all those folks. And Daryl and I wrote a song called Ordinary Day, which was a wonderful song. It was pretty well received. So all good. And I've been so fortunate in this career that I've traveled the world. I've met many, many people, and it's been a wonderful existence.
It's one of those things that seems like it's hard to start off, and then once you get going, it's almost a snowball effect for a while, almost a whirlwind. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Is there something that you look back maybe in that whirlwind of time and think you wished you would have done?
No. I'm very happy. You know, I was a cabinet maker for years, restored furniture, just did whatever I could to feed the family, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all good.
It is kind of like you're a master at a lot of trades. You've been doing some painting. Well, at least you did kind of in the late 90s, early 2000s. I remember you having an art show. Are you still doing your painting?
Yeah, I am. Absolutely. Yeah. I just did one about the Black Death in the mid century, the guy comes out and he said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said bring out your dad." Yeah, it's all bizarre. It's all cartoons, basically.
Yeah, so
I can get away with.
From what I'm gathering in our conversation is that you're a huge fan of the bizarre.
Well, I sure am. You know, Gary Larson is my favorite artist in the world. Just the strangest little sense of humor, and it's all good. All good from here. You know.
Yeah.
I'm looking. I just read a book called "Bad Men of the West," and it's my great great uncle Thomas E. Black Jack Ketchum. And he was an unsuccessful train robber. He robbed the Santa Fe line 3 times in a row, had his arm blown off. I mean, you know, he was not very good at what he did. But ironically, I met this waitress in Santa Fe, and she took me to his burial site where he would rerouted because he was a very unsuccessful train robber, apparently. Mm-hmm. But fascinating guy.
So would you say that with your love for the bizarre, what's the most bizarre thing? Do you collect things too, or are you just a fan of weird stuff?
I'm pretty much a fan of weird stuff. I mean, I just have a demented sense of humor, apparently.
It sounds like, yeah, bring out your dad. Yeah, that pretty much. let's get back to a little bit of music. Just going and looking through your career, and I'm sure you've heard all this 1,000 times, but 11 top 40 songs in the 90s.
Yeah, and absolutely. I was just on a roll, you know.
You're kind of like, and I don't know if you like Colin Ray or not, but you're kind of like Colin Ray. You don't realize how many songs both of you had until you really start looking at it, because there was a lot of showy acts in the 90s. You weren't a showy act. Did you do that on purpose?
No. Well, my motto is, you know, songwriting is a rare medium well done. That's about it.
So as we get into now, are you doing music now, or are you retired from it?
I just put out a live record. It's called Live from the Tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy turned me on to it, and he owns the Tabernacle, and he gave me free ride on this stuff. So it's been a really fascinating period of time.
So you still like doing the music, you just don't do it as often. Well, of course, you're not doing it as often.
I do. We're playing in Minneapolis. I've got a billionaire friend who lives in Minneapolis, and we're doing a child benefit for him, and we'll just keep rolling.
What's your favorite thing to do now?
Fly fish.
Really? Are you good at it?
Oh, yeah. My dad was an excellent fly fisherman. I mean, he was tops, you know. Mm-hmm. So I kind of I honor my dad pretty much with that, you know.
Do you tie your own flies and stuff or no?
No, I buy them.
Yeah.
I'm lazy, you know.
Well, Hal Ketchum here. It's Hello from the 90s. Thank you for spending time with us today on the podcast, and it's so great to catch up with you and know that you're doing well.
Thank you, my brother.
You have
appreciate
a great
you.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Adios.
All right, bye.